Well, in this age of wall-to-wall political commentary, there's been a lot of talk about disaffected voters. I mean, we've seen the endless news reports about underemployment or unemployment, where cameras pan over dreary scenes of shuttered factories and crumbling railroads. But even then, in those reports, it's all too easy to gloss over the actual lives of the people living in those struggling towns. However, few have written about the stories of working-class America as compassionately, as poignantly, and with as much humor as Richard Russo. He won the Pulitzer Prize for Fiction in 2002 for his novel Empire Falls, and his latest novel is Everybody's Fool. It is the sequel to the best-selling 1993 novel Nobody's Fool, and it takes us back to the town of North Bath, New York. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Richard Russo joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Well, it's great to be here, Magna.
It's great to have you. I should say that tonight you're going to be at the Brookline Booksmith, and we'll have more information about that at radioboston.org. But Richard, let me ask you, I know so many of your fans are so happy and excited to go back to North Bath in Everybody's Fool. What made you think it was time to revisit?
It's all Howard Frank Mosier's fault. He's one of my writing buddies, and since that novel came out, he's been fixated on Rub, Sully's sidekick, yeah. And he loves Rub. And every time I see Howard, he says, "What's going on with Rub these days, Sully and Rub? What's going on?" As if these were people were really alive, and I would know.
A lot of people felt like you brought them to life so well.
Well, and that's the ultimate compliment, yeah. And I always felt that way. But unfortunately, I never had anything to report to Howard until, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. I heard this wonderful story about a man who climbed up into a tree with a chainsaw and sat on a limb and actually sawed off the limb that he was sitting on.
Oh, my.
So that it fell to the ground. I mean, he was sitting on what was left of the limb with his back against the trunk of the tree. Yeah. But nevertheless, when the limb fell down, he lowered the chainsaw down. He realized, of course, that there was nothing to grab onto and no way to swing down into the ground. And he had to wait for hours until his wife came home and found him there. And I thought when I heard that story, I thought, well, Rub Squeers would do this. Mm-hmm. And the next time I saw Howard, he asked, "What's up with Rub?" And I had something. I told him that story, and in the telling of the story, as if it had actually happened to my fictional character, it kind of dawned on me that I was having an awfully good time.
Yeah.
and immediately saw a way to bring Sully into the scene, So that was, as I said, that's Howard's fault, and here we are, you know, 500 pages later.
Well, thank goodness for him. Then. Yeah. You keep saying it's his fault, but we should all thank him.
Well, the book is dedicated to him. That was my thank you to. Yeah.
Well, but so I'm curious though, because in Everybody's Fool, Sully is back.
Yep.
With us, but he's not really the center of the action here. And why is that? I mean, because he's one of those legendary characters in American fiction that, as we talked about, people did fall in love with.
Yeah, yeah. He was based at least in part on my father, and even my mother loved him. but when it came, his story was basically, I don't want to say his story was over in Nobody's Fool, but his conflict had been resolved. Mm-hmm. And I heard another story. I'd heard a couple of interesting stories about local cops. And one of them was just so ridiculous, and it put me in mind of then-Officer Raymer, and I thought, I wonder what his life would be like 10 years after. Has he been drummed out of the Corps? Would he still be a cop? And I thought, no, that wouldn't happen at all. He would now be the chief of police 10 years later.
Uh-huh.
and on a quest. And I like novels that do that. Larry McMurtry has a series of books in which Dwayne from The Last Picture Show is involved. Sometimes he's the main character, sometimes he's a lesser character. And I really like it when a writer takes a kind of functionary and you discover that here's somebody with a real life.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, before you used him only as a plot device, but now you get to look deep into his heart and soul, and you discover he's just as interesting as the people he was in service of the first time
right.
around.
So tell us a little bit more about Raymer the Raymer that we rediscover in Everybody's Fool. Like, how has he grown? How has he changed in the 10 years since Nobody's Fool?
Well, the most significant event that sets this book in motion is that since we met Officer Raymer, he has married to a woman with whom he was deeply in love, but she has died a tragic death, and it's tragic for Raymer twice, because not only does he lose his wife, but he discovers at the time of her accident, she falls down the stairs, slipping on a rug that he has promised to fix, and dies in the fall. But she's on the way out the door. She has her suitcases packed, and he discovers that she was about to run away with somebody, but he doesn't know who. And almost a year afterwards, he discovers in her car a garage door remote that does not open their garage.
Oh boy!
And he realizes that, and he does what I would do, and possibly Magna, what you would do as well. You go around neighborhood to neighborhood, don't you? With that with that garage door opener, and you see if you can find out whose garage that remote would open.
I would probably contemplate it, but I'm not sure.
All right, that's your story. You should stick to it.
Well, I would love to give folks a taste of how you write Officer Raymer in Everybody's Fool, the new book. And we've got just a little passage here. Could you read it to us?
Sure. Police work. Perhaps more than any other profession, attracted people for the wrong reasons. In Raymer's case, the desire to be useful. You'd be given orders, and you would execute these to the best of your ability. It never occurred to him that part of the job was figuring out, without being told, exactly what the job was. Right from the start, Ollie had encouraged him to act on his own initiative, to analyze the scene and figure out what needed to be done. Sure, there was plenty of mind-numbing repetition, but most days, especially in the beginning, you'd encounter something new, and there wasn't always time for instructions. In their absence, though, young Officer Raymer had found himself assailed not just by the usual raft of self-doubts, but also by an old, ambient feeling of futility that had been his more or less constant companion since he was a boy in a disorderly house that he had wanted to put right, without having a clue where to begin.
That's Richard Russo reading an excerpt from his new book, Everybody's Fool. It's the sequel to the beloved novel Nobody's Fool. Richard, can I ask you, you very deliberately set Everybody's Fool in 1999.
Yeah.
And I noticed that sort of cell phones are sort of there.
Yeah.
Around the edges, but they're not, they haven't quite permeated life in North Bath. And I'm wondering if that, I mean, of course it was a deliberate choice.
Yes.
But how important was it for you to have North Bath still be this place that was unto itself and that wasn't quite as connected to the rest of the world as most places are now?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lovely question. And I wanted it to be in 1999, because if it was too much later than that, then Sully would probably be too old to
right.
be a significant.
Because he's 80, right? Yeah.
Well, he was 60 in the first book. He's 70 now, but he's got a heart condition
okay.
now.
That's right.
So so that seemed right. But I did want it to be 1999, because my upstate New York mill towns, one of the things that I've enjoyed writing about them is they do have always existed, as they do in real life, kind of out of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the local restaurant is likely to be privately owned. It's probably not going to be a chain. The donut shop will be privately owned. And that's what I loved about those places. And that's what I loved about North Bath. But in this book, we're beginning to see the encroachment of the rest of America onto one of the few places that is genuinely itself still. But out by the freeway now, there's a TGI Fridays. There are other things out there. There's a reference to a Lowe's that's being built out there. And cell phones, ubiquitous everywhere else, are beginning to intrude on this town that kind of had an identity of its own. So this is in a way, it's a historical novel. It's a snapshot. It's not mm-hmm. a contemporary story at all. And that was very useful to me. Upstate New York has changed a lot now in the 2000s.
Well, we're going to run out of time here, Richard, which is just a shame. But I do want to ask you one question, because I hinted in the beginning when I introduced you that there's even though this is fiction, you've long had this authenticity of voice for the people in these struggling towns. And I'm just wondering, you know, if Sully were real today, who would he vote for?
Sully. I'm not sure about Sully. Especially the males in this town, are very blue collar. They have worked the kind of jobs all of their life that have, over the last couple of decades, been outsourced.
Yeah.
And they've missed not only those jobs, but their identities as a result, and their sense of themselves in America, in America's future. Many of them, I fear, would be voting for Mr. Trump. Miss Burrell, however, would not be fooled.
Well, Richard Russo, he's the Pulitzer Prize-winning novelist. His new novel is Everybody's Fool. It is the fantastic sequel to Nobody's Fool. He's going to be at the Brookline Booksmith tonight. He'll be in South Hadley tomorrow, and Wellesley a little later this month. We'll have information about all of that at radioboston.org. Absolute delight to speak with you, Richard. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for your interest in the work.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.